getting you home. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
And it's Gadget Guide time with Rob and Lawrence. Hello, guys.
Good evening. Julian.
Nice to be back.
Good to see you.
Of course, it's you again. We had Mr. Webb last time.
Yes. You did, didn't you? Yes. Yeah.
So, yes. Back to normality. Anyway, wearable technology coming up in a moment. So this is all the things that attach to you, really, and you walk around with.
But I think of watches, but there's other stuff as well.
There's loads of other stuff. Yes.
Many other gadgets. But first of all, a quick look at some of the news. And in fact, keeping with the theme, there's a nice news article at the moment on wearable technology. That is wearable technology for bees.
So this is Kew Gardens doing a bit of research on how bees go around collecting pollen and nectar.
I was expecting you to get the story from BuzzFeed.
Oh dear. Moving swiftly onwards. But they've attached little tracking devices to the bees. And of course that's not an easy thing to do, because as much as electronics has got smaller nowadays, bees are still relatively small things. And I love the design constraint here, which is that it doesn't weigh as much as a bee. Can you imagine here, wear the smartwatch. It doesn't quite weigh as much as you. It wouldn't go down too well, but apparently the bees don't seem to have a problem with it. And it's got a range of up to 2.5 metres, which again doesn't seem a long way, but if you compare that to the previous technology of about a centimetre, it means you can start looking at some really interesting stuff.
What's the objective? Because the bees have declined in population in recent years, which is a bit of a worry at lots of different levels.
Yes, and I think it's really to see how they move around, what it is they're doing.
They want to see what is happening to bees and why they are declining. So, you know, this gives a lot better idea on what bees are doing, where they're going, how long they're staying out of the hive for. And all those sort of interesting statistics.
Lifetimes as well.
What is also cool is they're using Raspberry Pi computers to actually capture the data as the bees come back to the hives.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned the Raspberry Pi, because also in the news, the BBC have made the news today, because they're going to give 1 million miniature computers to school children in order, you know, to continue this sort of drive to improve people's digital skills, you know, give them more exposure to computer programming, basically to develop the next generation of people.
This is one of the things they've effectively been forced into doing by the government, isn't it? I think it's the excess of, well, I'm thinking more of the money that was spent initially on the rollout of digital television.
Oh, right.
They're now sort of being diverting some of that money, and some people don't like what's being called top slicing of the licence fee.
Oh, interesting. Okay, not appreciate that. But what they are doing, they're giving these micro bits, as they're calling them, to all 11-year-olds starting school in the autumn. And it's kind of interesting, because it's their own device. I don't know what the heritage of the device is, but it seems interesting that all of this work that's been done by the Raspberry Pi Foundation, with a huge penetration into the educational sector, Google sponsoring, I think it was 1 million Raspberry Pis, it seems very odd that the BBC are almost fragmenting that market needlessly. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what it is that
we'll have to do a bit more research, I think, into the
BBC
bit. Microbit.
Obviously, anything which drives sort of digital innovation and skills is a good thing, but it just seems very odd that they're sort of splitting the effort that's been done by the Raspberry Pi Foundation, by the code clubs that are going into schools and running out of hours sort of software developments, again, based around the Pi. So that'll be a really interesting one to keep an eye on, I think.
Yes.
Mobile news.
Yes. This time, the networks. So BT has decided to buy EE.
Yes.
So BTE phone home.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Of course, BT used to own a network. They used
BT had BT Mobile or
BT Cellnet, which then became O2.
Which has also just been sold.
Which Three are now trying to buy, or the owners of Three are trying to buy.
Yes. So BT have launched BT Mobile, which will be running on the EE platform as the merger goes through. And, of course, just to steal headlines, they've decided to come up with a ridiculously low tariff of £5 a month.
And this gets you 4G data, doesn't it?
So it's 500 megs of 4G data.
But you do have to be a BT broadband subscriber, don't you, for this?
You've read the T's and C's.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you have to be a BT customer already, so a BT broadband customer. But, you know, for anyone who's got BT broadband, add your mobile for £5 is a pretty good deal.
Although I do wonder a little bit about that, because I wonder if it's one of those sort of get you in cheap and then switch, because it's only 500 megabytes of data a month, which when you're including 4G, people are going to notice that they can download videos, they can notice that they can do all of that sort of stuff. And that 500 megs will go very quickly. If you compare this to where we used to be, if you're on a data network, which you were sort of maybe 3G some of the time when you were lucky in the middle of the city, and 2G the rest of the time, you never got through 500 megs. It was impossible. Now with 4G, you can get speeds that rival your home internet connection. And that means you don't think of uploading a YouTube video. And that can be 200 megs. That's half of your monthly use.
Even better now, of course, YouTube have added 4K capability. So
This is ultra-high definition.
This is ultra-high definition. We've been talking about ultra-high def for a good year now, but it's now available. You can buy ultra-high def monitors for your computers. You can buy ultra-high def computers. TVs. You can buy ultra-high def cameras.
Indeed, most smartphones are now
ultra-high def. So now you can share it, because YouTube will cater for your 4K video. So that's 2160p60 or 3840 by 2160 resolution. And, of course, if you're doing that on your mobile phone... Yep. And using your 4G, you're going to really chew through data very quickly. So.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see whether we sort of see a proliferation of options of actually, up till now, everyone's just wanted the best quality that the technology can deliver. I wonder if there will now be more sort of user-facing options in that actually, you know what, I'm only watching this on my phone screen. I'll save some of my data. Let's throttle it back to something
lower. I think YouTube do that
lower.
Automatically to a degree.
But they do it based on what's possible. It's what the network can deliver, whereas actually, I've only got 500 megs. Let me make the decision to only watch this in HD.
The thing is, if I filmed my latest favourite video on my phone in 4K and I want to upload that and share that five-minute video, you know, how big is a five-minute video in 4K?
Exactly, it's not going to be small. Okay, well, moving into the smaller end of the spectrum, of course, we've got the Apple Watch that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. That's not quite shipping yet. That's coming up next month. But
a few weeks' time, yep.
They are already going on the App Store, aren't they?
Yes.
Or the apps for them.
So there are apps available now. The developers have all got the necessary development kits to be able to do it. And, yeah, there will be stuff to run on your Apple Watch when you buy it.
I noticed my iPhone, when it had an update a couple of weeks ago, had a new app appeared in connection with the watch that I don't have.
Exactly, but you will soon.
I suspect.
They hope. In similar watch-related news, Google and Intel have partnered with Tagora. As a sort of really quite a high-end smartwatch, isn't
Yes.
it?
Yes. Now, it's interesting. I mean, Tag have never been cheap watches, but Apple watches aren't cheap. So, you know, we're going to not worry too much, I think, about what price they come up with for an Intel Google Tag Heuer watch. Versus what you can pay on an Apple Watch.
Yes, and of course they've got that sort of status symbol almost already, haven't they?
The interesting thing is the Swiss watch market has said you buy something like a Rolex or a Breitling or a Tag Heuer and you give it to your kids when they grow up. You know, you don't throw those away.
It's something you keep.
Whereas smart electronics and smartphones, you know, where's your first smartphone?
Yeah.
You know, and would your kids be interested in receiving that as an heirloom? No. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with this.
Definitely. And then finally, before we take a quick break and come back to wearable stuff, Windows 10 is coming. So on the desktop side of things, we're looking at a summer release date, aren't
we? Yes, and they're saying everyone running Windows 7 and 8 is going to get it free.
And that's true even if you maybe just sort of slightly accidentally acquired a copy of Windows 7 or 8.
That you didn't quite pay for, yes.
I think it's a nice... It's a nice gesture in a sense, because it means that they're trying to keep the platform moving. They're trying to avoid this situation that we've had in the past where people are still running 15-year-old versions of the operating system.
You know, the operating systems have got better. Since version 7 onwards, they've got steadily better. So it still works well on your old hardware. So people haven't ended up upgrading, because why upgrade? That's money.
Yeah.
And my old PC still works. And, you know, you add... peripherals and upgrades to the PC, RAM and hard drives are easy to add. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. It's also going to be interesting to see if they will ever charge for another Windows operating system.
That's a good point.
Apple started this by not charging for a Mac OS upgrade.
Although, of course, they do tie you to the hardware. So there they make the profits on the hardware.
They do. But, you know, Microsoft, with all of their cloud and online-based services now becoming relatively inexpensive and chargeable. I mean, you can subscribe to Office 365, lots of storage, and the latest Office for £50 a year, £1 a week, why charge you for the operating system?
Yeah, very true. And the other bit of Microsoft-related news is that on Windows 10 phones, it's looking like they might get Android apps.
Yes, I think Microsoft have suddenly realised that not enough people are developing for their platform, so let's just allow Android apps to run on Windows Phone.
Yes, and that will be interesting. Possibly a bit of a nightmare for app developers, because...
screens are all different.
The problem with developing for Android in the past has always been compared to iOS, where you've just got a handful of different bits of hardware. Android, you've got hundreds. And now we've got another factor, which is whether it's running a completely different operating system. So it could be a very interesting one to
watch there. I think the developers have already dealt with that, because they've got to compile for KindleOS.
That's true.
For FireOS and Fiery and so on. So
that's true.
Probably an okay problem there.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. And I noticed, by the way, on the subject of Microsoft, that they've offered us Mac users who have waited 5 years for an update to Office,
Office.
A free trial of their new Office, which has just been released in the last couple of weeks.
Office 2016 preview edition is available for Windows at the moment as well.
It's not bad. It's not crashing, unlike the previous version.
Nice.
I think so. Kaiser Chiefs, Falling Awake. This is Cambridge 105, and it's the Gadget Guide.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. So, we're talking wearable technology this week, and we've spoken quite a bit in the past about
various things, smartwatches. And...
So, Apple obviously in the news recently with their impending release of the smartwatch, but wearable tech isn't just about the watches and the fitness trackers and things like that. And there's a whole load of development going on around this area, and we've just sort of dragged out a few bits and pieces. You headed over to the wearable technology show, I think, a couple of weeks ago down at Excel in London, and discovered a whole bunch of stuff. And should we start off on some of the kind of the more medical oriented devices? So Philips, for example, are doing some research around monitoring people. Sort of heart care. So if you've got people who've got had heart surgery or what have you, or got heart failure, being able to monitor this sort of stuff is developing
Massive
benefits.
You're now creating a wearable vest that the patient can wear, rather than having to be tethered to a bunch of leads and a machine that beeps and so on in a hospital. They can actually wear this vest and go out and about, but still be connected, so it can still capture information about their health and feed it back to their treatment team.
And it's also enabled something longer term, but still at reasonable cost. So I remember some time back I had one of those 24-hour heart monitor things on, where it sort of takes your pulse and blood pressure and stuff like that over a 24-hour period.
Right.
And that's a substantial lump of medical equipment that is really obvious if you've got one of them on. and it costs goodness knows how much for them to run and to analyse the results. This is something that you can actually just give everyone and then look at it all remotely, see what they're doing, automatically advise them, you don't seem to have done much exercise today, or your blood pressure's a bit high, or your blood sugar's a bit high.
Yeah, I mean, it's about giving the patients a feedback about their own health as well. In real time, and then giving them health milestones, things like, have you got up and walked around a little bit today? But then also feeding that back to their healthcare professionals as well, so that their doctor can go, right, okay, we asked you to do some more walking, and you've done that, great, let's have a look at how that's affected the rest of your health. And then making it wearable so that it isn't intrusive on someone's life.
Exactly,
is the important
nice and discreet.
Thing. And I mean, some of the presenters at the Wearable Tech Show were certainly talking, devices need to start becoming discreet to allow you to wear it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because otherwise people won't.
Yes, and one of the things that's interesting that also came up here is that you can make the electronics as small as you want, but you've still got to power it. And that's something that, battery technology has always been something that tends to lag behind in most electronics.
Yes, that's why we...
That and regulation.
Yes, exactly.
Charging our smartphones daily is something we're used to, whereas, wearable technology, we want it to last a bit longer, especially if you're going to have something that you want to wear during the day and sleep to track sleep.
But something as basic as a watch. My not particularly expensive watch here doesn't need a battery because it gets on, runs from sunlight.
Yeah.
If I were to get some wearable technology, I'd have to switch from this to something which presumably I would have to take off,
dock and charge,
remember where I'd put it, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some interesting stuff going on both on the charging and the battery technology itself. So, for example, charging, wireless charging is now becoming more and more of a thing. You know, you're certainly seeing it on mobile phones. But actually, what about if you want to charge your smartwatch, have something that you put on your bedside table so that when you take your watch off at night, you just put it down on the table. Yeah. Don't have to plug anything in, you just grab it in the morning.
Certainly, one thing I saw at one of the other expos was a charging system that can be built into things like restaurant
into
tables
furniture.
And coffee shop tables so that you can have smart furniture. IKEA starting to sell this.
Oh, interesting.
I saw that, yes.
So you can now have your charging, probably some interesting IKEA name, you know, Chargeson.
You know the story about IKEA names. I should do this very quickly. And so far as the Danish got rather grumpy because if it was something nice like a bedspread or a clock, it would have a nice Swedish name. But if it was like a doormat or somewhere where you'd have to peel your potatoes, they'd give it They'd give it a Danish name.
Interesting. That's wonderful. So, excuse me. One of the other interesting things that we've come across is paper-thin batteries that are effectively printed.
Yes, so this is something you can almost stick onto your skin if you've got some medical monitoring device. Yeah, this is something that moves with you. Yeah, it's basically a sticking plaster. It's like a sort of patch or something like that that you can put on you.
Yeah.
But actually, it means
it's a battery.
Exactly.
Battery that's a nicotine patch size and that sort of package is fairly impressive stuff. So, I mean, more stuff in the medical side. We've got lots of stuff we could talk about.
Yes, and that's something that I find quite interesting, following a few people online, is if you're diabetic, continuous glucose monitoring. So typically, if you're a sort of insulin-dependent diabetic, you have to poke your finger.
Prick and measure before meals, after meals.
A day.
Yeah.
Exactly, which means that no matter, you get a very accurate measurement, but you only as often as you want to stick something in your finger. Whereas now you can get devices that track your blood sugar levels constantly, and they're not quite as accurate. The finger prick is still the gold standard of accuracy, but actually having that constant data stream and having the ability to log it to analyze it means that you can see patterns in data that you just couldn't get with the finger pricks.
So how does this work? Because we saw last year Google were working on a contact lens that would track blood sugar level because it's got a very close contact with you to be able to do that measurement. So I'm guessing that this isn't quite that sort of interactive and attached to you type of technology yet, but Rob's just trying to find out how the technology
Googling
works.
It. I think yes, it does. It effectively, it's something you do have something stuck to you all the time, so
right.
it is a contact based thing. But for a lot of people who are using these, they may be also using an insulin pump, so that's something they're used to. And it might seem inconvenient, having something tethered to you 24 hours a day, but actually
it's keeping you alive.
It's keeping you alive, and it's allowing you to manage it through data. And this is Internet of Things, at its finest, is something that literally by having that data available and having the ability to manage that data, you can deliver better healthcare as a result, even if the accuracy is not there, just the sheer quantity and accessibility of that data.
Yes, and I mean, other things we came across, things like UV monitors you can wear. So
when you've been out in the sun too long?
It looks like a little watch bracelet, fully waterproof and sun, so you just strap those onto all the kids on the beach, and off they go, and it will start to alert when they've had too much UV.
This is a bit like shop loyalty cards, though. You're going to have a wallet full of the things. You kind of need to have one device which does all. Is that going to be the watch at some point?
I don't know. I mean, the problem with smartwatches is just making them suitably waterproof to survive things like ocean waves.
And also,
it's a lot easier to make a small sensor package and make it waterproof for swimming in the sea.
There's also the criticalness here. You don't want a dodgy app update for your for your messenger app on your phone to crash your blood sugar control.
Yes.
There's some degree of separation.
Yeah, I suspect Doctor wouldn't be very happy with that one. Guys, we're out of time. Thank you.
Thanks,
very
Julian.
Much. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time, I guess. Mr. Whiteside coming up after 6.
Hello there. Are you all right next door?
We're lovely, thank you. Yes, have you
good,
done the weather?
Good. I've done the weather. Okay. I've also been watching cat videos on the internet, so I'm all fired up. There's someone done cat curling. Go and take a look at it. They use a brush. They use a brush and a kitten, and the cat loves it before anyone has a go.
Is it like your bulldog blowing?
Something along those lines. We'll see you with lots of fun stuff coming up after 6. Toodles.
I wonder if he's got breaded cats. I've always enjoyed those.